Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, Preparing for the New Age, The Books of Alice Bailey, Part 3. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The books that I have written are sent out with no claim for their acceptance. They may or may not be correct, true, and useful. It is for you to ascertain their truth by right practice and by the exercise of the intuition. If the teaching conveyed calls forth a response and brings a flashing forth of the intuition, then let that teaching be accepted, but not otherwise. Now, the Alice Bailey writings are so comprehensive, talking about 24 volumes of esoteric literature. That's quite a bit.
A lot of words.
Yeah, a lot, and a lot of great thoughts, too, that give you really pause for much thinking. Is there any particular place one should begin to read her books?
Well, we are often asked that question. Is there a particular order that one should take up for the study of these books? In my opinion, no. It really depends on one's own spiritual need, which manifests as a kind of an inclination or an affinity to certain topics more than others. And that's one reason for people who are listening to this broadcast to request the booklet, which you'll be mentioning later, 30 Years' Work, because it offers a précis on each of the books that she wrote, and you can get from that a general idea of the scope of each particular title and decide which ones really seem to ignite your interest and your sense of what you need to know for your spiritual development. I should say to people that our discussion of these books is not similar to that of book discussions you might hear on other programs where critics will discuss and review and analyze a book they've read. This isn't that kind of program. We are, Dale and I, amongst the converted and convinced. We have been studying these books for many, many years, and people should understand that we have been transformed by the study of these books, and we think that people who respond to these books are going to find them very helpful for their spiritual life. But I can't say that we are speaking with the detachment of a critical observer. That's not our role, and people shouldn't assume that. But for any of us approaching any spiritual teaching, this opening thought that you mentioned, that people should decide for themselves whether a spiritual teaching expresses truth and evokes one's own inner sense of intuitive recognition of something that they can trust, should be the qualifying measurement of any teaching. You have within you an inner source of guidance and of truth that you can rely upon. But first, you should give the teaching that you're approaching a chance to speak to you. Give it enough study that you can make an intelligent decision. Last week, we were talking about the books in terms of categories. There are certain organized themes that group the titles together, and maybe that would be a way to approach one's reading of them. Where did we leave off?
Well, let's see. I think we left off where we were going to mention the particular books that Alice herself wrote on her own, because she did have help writing 18 of them, but she wrote five of them all by herself. And first one was Consciousness of the Atom. That was a series of lectures that she gave way back in, what was it, 1920 or so?
1921 in New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could explain what those were about.
I don't think I can explain Consciousness of the Atom, but I must admit it's a fascinating book. It's one of the smaller books that she wrote, if you want a small book. And it's absolutely wonderful. It's for the scientifically minded, wouldn't you say? It explains the structure of matter, not only in a human being, but in a plant or an animal or a mineral. All living things of all levels of life are composed of atomic structures. And there's a deeply spiritual principle in that.
Well, I suppose just in the title, The Consciousness of the Atom, we don't really think much of of an atom having much of consciousness. But actually, I guess it does, because, you know, every atom has its own particular path and its own inner guidance to direct it to become an atom of substance. And there is a rudimentary kind of instinct there in that atom to do what it does.
The way a crystal forms, the way the vegetable kingdom expresses its radiance. I mean, I don't think you can stand under a huge tree that has lived a long time and not be aware that there is a kind of a conscious life expressing through that presence.
Yeah, and this is when you have combinations of atoms all coming together to form an organism of some kind, then there must be some kind of intelligence there telling it what to do. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would just sit there as a lump, perhaps. Where do I go from here? You know, what do I do? But then there is an instinctual pattern already inherent in the atom that directs it.
Another book that she wrote that's along the scientific line is her book, The Soul and Its Mechanism, which deals more with the human body, physical, the etheric component that stands behind the physical body, the emotional and mental bodies. It's an excellent book if one wants to study the makeup, the composition of a human being, the levels of energy and force that comprise a human being, through which the soul seeks to work to manifest itself. But a mechanism which often throws up blocks to the intention of the soul until it's sufficiently integrated. The soul and its mechanism is a very good study of the human being.
And then there is another one called From Intellect to Intuition. And that is an obvious outline the study of the range of human consciousness from the intellect. Everyone can kind of understand what the intellect is, because it has to do with the lower mind and the analytical mind and the knowledge factor. But I think the intuition, the true intuition, is something beyond what most people think it is. It's not, you know, the hunches that we get or the gut feelings,
yeah.
That comes from a lower expression, more in the solar plexus range of contacts. But the true intuition lies way beyond the higher mind, in the what they call the more the Buddhic nature, or the spiritual triad, or the these are all terms that are used in the Bali teachings
and defined in them. Mm-hmm. And the contact with this plane of the intuition is through meditation. So From Intellect to Intuition is a book about the practice of meditation.
And that's why these teachings may sound a little abstract and say, what does this all have to do with me? But they are very practical. I mean, they deal with everyday life, with everyday substance, with happenings in the world. And so if once you get into the books, you can see what they represent, and because they're dealing with energies and forces, and that's essentially all that there is, energies and forces working out in some kind of combination in the world.
Another of her books that's quite popular with readers who haven't read a great deal in esoteric literature is From Bethlehem to Calvary. That's an interesting book because Alice Bailey started out life as a fundamentalist Christian, and her early years were spent doing missionary work to the British troops in India. But through her own spiritual awakening, she broadened her spiritual consciousness to include the fundamental teachings that are found in all the great world religions, and to expand it to include the principles that we call the ageless wisdom, that strain of esoteric spiritual truth that has been with humanity from virtually the dawn of Homo sapiens, if not earlier. And From Bethlehem to Calvary links the Christian teaching embodied in the life of Jesus to the five initiations of the spiritual path, the fifth initiation resulting in mastery, in the embodiment of a master, if people are familiar with that term, of a Christ, a Buddha. And this relation of the Christian events, the major spiritual events in the life of Jesus, to the five initiations of the spiritual path is expressed very clearly, and one can, I think, identify one's own place on that path through the study of her
that's
book.
It's interesting because it deepens one's understanding of the major experiences in, like the birth, for example, the birth of Jesus, and then 30 years later, the baptism of Jesus, and then the transfiguration experience in the Gethsemane, and then the crucifixion, and finally the resurrection. And these are all Christian terms, but they are explained more deeply by Alice Bailey in terms of more esoteric terms of the real energies and forces and the initiations that the Master Jesus was demonstrating and going through these stages for humanity to, we'll all take part in these same initiations eventually.
And the fifth book that she wrote on her own was The Unfinished Autobiography, which is the story of her life and her evolution from a fundamentalist Christian to a writer of some of the greatest books of the ageless wisdom that are available to us today. And she was also the founder of a school for training in spiritual development called the Arcane School. Her life and her work this realm is depicted in The Unfinished Autobiography.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, Preparing for the New Age, The Books of Alice Bailey, Part 3. We have a special offer from Lucis Trust today. We're going to give you something for free, which everyone likes something for free. And actually, it's a very nice gift because it'll give you a chance to, it's an overview. It's an overview of each of the 24 books that Alice Bailey wrote, and I think you'll enjoy reading it. It's there's several different précises as to what various books are about, and I think you'll get an idea as to what to expect when you approach the volumes or the 24 books. So it's called 30 Years' Work, It's absolutely for free. Once again, it's an overview of each of the 24 books Alice Bailey wrote. Absolutely no charge. So if you'd like to take advantage of that, just give us a call on 1-866-695-8247 and ask for 30 years' work. It's a pamphlet. It's the overview of the 24 books that Alice Bailey wrote. Easy way to remember the number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And by the way, we really appreciate your support. You've been making donations, and your donations, large and small, they're an expression to us of your support, and that's what keeps us on the air. And we like doing these radio shows for you, and many of you have expressed a desire to have us continue doing this work on the radio. So please donate, and then we can be guaranteed to stay on the air, providing we can pay for these shows. We have a website, by the way. The website is www.lucistrust.org. Lucis, once again, is L-U-C-I-S. So it's www.lucistrust.org. You can find out a lot of information about Lucis Trust, Alice Bailey. But one of the main reasons that people seem to key into the website is to listen to the previously archived library of radio shows. We have so many of them archived, a variety of different topics, all from the books of Alice Bailey. So once again, the phone number, 1-866-695-8247, or 1-866-NY-LUCIS, think of New York LUCIS, and ask for 30 years' work, the pamphlet about the Alice Bailey books. And I was thinking, the only way I can identify with you and Dale is I remember at one point in my life when I was a youngster, I wanted to be really smart, and I remember making it my goal I was going to read, which I never achieved, but I got into it. I was going to read every one of the Encyclopedia Britannica books, and I thought, and my father told me this, he said, if you do that, you'll be the smartest man in the world. Well, I bought into everything that he said, so I went on this journey through these books, and but at, you know, at no time when I was, and I must have spent about 2 or 3 years in this pursuit, but at no time did I ever want to make the Encyclopedia Britannica my life's work. I mean, it never occurred to me. But here you are. I can just picture you and Dale. You're reading the books, and at one point,
why don't we finish?
Gee, we'll make this our life's work. Forget about other jobs. I'm going to work 9 to 5. I mean, how does this happen that you have this epiphany where you want to make this your life's work? How did it happen for you, Sarah?
Well, there was no epiphany. It was just, I think, a recognition, like anyone who finds a path that seems right to them experiences. If you know that you should be a school teacher, if you know that you should be a businessman, if you know that you should run a farm, there's a sense of inner direction. And I think with people who study a spiritual teaching, if it's really appropriate for them, they find continually unfolding levels of recognition and understanding that continually seem to expand their vision, and the horizon recedes a little bit further, and they can see a little bit farther ahead. When that is offered from a spiritual teaching, I think anybody would want to give it his fullest effort. And that's, I think, what has happened, not just with us, but with many people who have read her books. They're available in so many of the world's languages now, Greek, Russian, Italian, French, German, Spanish, Danish, Swedish.
Really? They've been translated into all those languages?
Oh, and more. Currently, there's a lot of effort to bring the books out in Japanese. Most of them are in Portuguese. Some of the newer languages that are coming out are Romanian, Bulgarian, Vietnamese, Finnish. So they speak to people of many different cultures, many different backgrounds and histories. They're not linked to any particular part of humanity. They speak to the soul of humanity, I think, and that's what makes them so universal in their appeal.
Yeah, I think that's the thing to keep in mind, that the universality of these teachings, they're not just, as you say, they're not just English for the English-speaking world. They're for for all throughout the world. I mean, from the Russians. I don't know about the Chinese yet because we haven't really had much chance to get into that country, but they'll come around. Mm-hmm. But in Japan, there's interest growing.
There's that wonderful story, can I interrupt, about the man in Zimbabwe?
Yeah.
Co-workers of ours a few years ago went to Zimbabwe to hold some meetings, and a man, a Zimbabwean, turned up, and he looked around the room. There were a lot of people from South Africa who had come for the meeting. I guess they were not the kind of people he was usually used to seeing in Zimbabwe. And he said, oh, do white people read these books too? I think that's so wonderful because he thought they were hit for him, and that's how we all read them. They speak to me.
It's amazing. Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing too is that so many people have asked me. They know that I host this show, and they'll say, "Well, is it a religion?" And so I think that's one of the biggest questions that people get: is one enter a religion when one reads the Alice Bailey book? Is that expected, or does it lead to that?
No, it's not expected at all. It's, in fact, you can still follow your religious path. You can read these books, and they're not, they do sometimes have, you know, a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist kind of background to all of these teachings. But one can follow a religious path or not, you know, it's not a religious path. It's a non-denominational. It's a universal. It transcends, I think, all the religious doctrines that are in vogue today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of the driving thing for me. And it's the important thing is that it lifts one right out of those particular dogmas.
I think that's important, too, because people have this feeling that they're being disloyal to their own religion sometimes when they approach new spiritual ideas, but it's certainly, I've gotten involved in the books, and it's certainly not promoting of any type of religion.
There are many other ways that we can approach these books, and there are other ways that you kind of organize them into different subjects, different themes, and that's another way of approaching them.
Well, another approach, if it speaks to you, would be to study their teachings on the Antahkarana. The Antahkarana is a Sanskrit term meaning the bridge in consciousness, the lighted bridge that is built through meditation and service. And the whole science of the Antahkarana is fascinating, and it's really essential for one who wants to develop a deep understanding of meditation and really perfect his meditation practice. A good introductory book on the science of the Antahkarana is Education in the New Age, which, as you can probably imagine, has to do with the development of the mind, beginning with the child and his or her education. But all of us, adults as well, should be engaged in a lifelong process of education. And Education in the New Age touches on the science of the Antahkarana. Then another book goes into it in much more depth, The Rays and the Initiations. Another category of approach to the books is the inner structure of the human being.
And this is so important because there is a vast study of the physical structure today of the human body. Mm-hmm. We know what the body is, even down to the level of the genes and the DNA, and right down to the level of the atom. But this has to do with the physical structure of the body. But there is a quite a vast corresponding esoteric or energy structure to the body too, having to do with the etheric body, which is the kind of the mold or the shell on which the physical body is formed, and then the inner structure of the whole energy bodies, the system of chakras, the energy centers that go up and down the spine, and the major chakras, and all the relationship to the mind, and the realization of that the mind and the brain, for example, are not the same, that the mind works through the brain, and so there is this whole inner structure that is developed in the Bailey books, too.
And the books that approach that subject are, well, I can think of a few of them. One is A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, which has a long section on the mental plane that is quite fascinating. A Treatise on White Magic.
We've mentioned that before. We mm-hmm. talked about that. And
the Treatise on the Seven Rays.
Seven Rays, yes. Yeah. And that's a fascinating and very necessary study because we've done a couple of shows on that subject.
Through a study of these books in particular that we've just mentioned, they help you understand what makes a human being what he is. And when you understand that, then you begin to see how you can change and grow. There's something quite miraculous and marvelous about the human being. I was thinking about it the other day. The thought occurred to me that how can you believe when a human being dies that that's the end of that person? Because when you look at even small children bring this wonderful, unique, precious, irreplaceable humanness with them and spend their lifetime fully developing it ever more fully. Each one of us is a work in progress. Each one of us is at our base a kind of a miracle. How can you believe that all ends with the death of the body? I've never bought that. And when you study the composition of the human being, you see what an incredible structure each individual is.
And the human being is simply a reflection of the cosmos itself.
As above, so below.
Yeah, because if you study and understand the structure of the human being and the esoteric and the physical, then you will understand the makeup of the universe.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Trust today, and that's the pamphlet, the title of which is 30 Years Work. And really what that is it's an overview of each of the 24 books Alice Bailey wrote, and absolutely no charge, and it'll certainly give you an idea, a little bit more information about the Alice Bailey books, and maybe give you an idea also as to where you'd like to start. So give us a call if you'd like to take advantage of that offer at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Just ask for 30 years work and we'll send it out to you free of charge. Easy way to remember the phone number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.